Hello, everyone. Welcome to Tennis.com podcast Inside the Tour. I'm Nina Pantic, one of your co-hosts, alongside Irina Falcone. We have a special guest. Cece Bellis joins us. We met up with her in Orlando last month. She has been out of the game since March 2018 with wrist and elbow injuries that required four surgeries. She'll tell you all about them. She's been ranked as high as number 35 in the world in 2017 when she also won WTA Newcomer of the Year Award. In this interview, Cece talks about what she's been through in the past year in terms of rehab and surgeries and starts and stops. And then she looks ahead to her comeback, which will hopefully be around the U.S. Open. Here's Cece Bellis. Let's jump right in. All right, Cece Bellis, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
It's a special episode because we're all in the same room and that is so, so valuable.
I know. Just hearing your guys' story about being in different eras all the time, it's nice to have all of us together.
It's amazing. So where are you at now in terms of practicing and getting back on court and your wrist injury, elbow injury? What's the status?
Right now I'm hitting. Actually, this week I'm going to multiple days in a row, which is a positive. The last few weeks I've been doing every other day. And I'm moving up to normal ball this week and kind of progressing every single day. And it's been really great and I'm happy about it. So no step backs yet.
When you say normal ball, what's that mean? Were you playing with...
I was playing with a lower compression ball at first. Yeah. And then just each time, you know, I felt strong enough to move up to the next one. We kind of moved up and... This week I'm at a regular one, which is kind of crazy. So I'm excited.
It's such a long process. It feels like it's been forever. It's been over a year. It was, I think, March 2018 last time you played. Did you expect, was it a shock when you look back and you're like, it's been a year?
Yeah. I mean, just going into, you know, when I first got the scans of my arm, like the MRI and everything, you know, you'd never think it would have been this long. And I just had a lot of complications throughout the whole year. But looking back, I think it's definitely taught me a lot of lessons. So I'm going to try and take some positives out of it for sure.
Was there anything that, obviously, a year off the court, you're playing still a little bit, practicing, but were there anything, new hobbies, new things that you have like found interesting or anything like that?
I mean, I started taking classes online, college classes, and that's been really fun for me. And it's definitely been good to take my mind off of everything else going on and have something else that, you know, I'm enjoying and doing well in. So that's been really fun for me. And just kind of spending time with my family, friends, and doing things that I wouldn't be able to do if I was playing tennis all the time. So it's been nice to kind of catch up with everyone and be normal for a little bit too.
And with the school, is it the online school, like Indiana East?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's kind of cool. Does the WTA helps you guys figure that out? Because you both did it.
Yeah, it's really easy for us to, they help us sign up and get us kind of started. It was really easy to get going and it's been great for me for sure.
In terms of hobbies and stuff, did you have more time to like, I don't know, plan vacations or go visit friends that you normally wouldn't? There's always like a bigger Christmas vacation when you probably haven't in the past 7 years.
Yeah, no, we took a summer vacation last summer to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and it was gorgeous there. And it was a really outdoorsy vacation. Usually every year we try and do like a beach family vacation. We've gone to Hawaii a lot since I lived in California when I was younger. But it was so pretty there in the mountains and we did a lot of hiking and fun stuff like that. I got to visit a lot of my friends in California and be home for a little bit. So that was fun too.
Because we had Shelby on and she was like, I mean, obviously being injured is terrible and surgeries are scary and all that. But she was like, I've had so much more time to hang out with my friends and do normal things. And I don't know. It's like pros. I mean, obviously there's more cons, but there's a little bit of growing.
Oh, taking positives for sure. Yeah, definitely. There's positives that you can take and kind of making the best of the year for sure was one of my goals.
People don't really understand that, like, for us, I mean, being home, when you're a tennis player, full-time tennis player, tour player, being home is vacation.
Yeah.
It really is. So every time I would talk to people, I'm like, I'm just being a normal person. Like, this is what a normal life is like, you know? You're actually sleeping in the same bed every single night. So totally get that.
Yeah.
Do you have any vacations planned, like, soon? Anything else during the summer or?
Not quite yet. Just kind of figure out my schedule. And when I, you know, think I'm going to be ready to play tournaments again and just kind of going to go from there. And I guess we'll see, you know, if I keep progressing and just kind of playing it by ear at this point. And then we'll figure out off time and vacations. I do want to go to the Bahamas at some point this year. So maybe during off season.
Oh my God, I'm obsessed with the Bahamas. Irene and I have been.
Yeah.
We went to the Exumas and hung out with the pigs.
Oh, yes.
It was life changing.
That is so iconic.
I hope you do go. Do you have any idea of when you're going to come back or any, I mean, you've had three surgeries?
Four.
Four. Jesus. Oh, was it your first surgery ever in your life when you had the first one?
Yep. Yeah, it was. I mean, each one I was more scared going in. And I think the last one, I mean, because, you know, people ask me, they're like, you know, has it gotten easier? You know, how are you dealing with it? And the first time I actually was like, I'm in so much pain that I need to get it. Like, I wasn't actually nervous at that point because, you know, I'd never really been through the process. I didn't know what was going to happen. And then by the last one, I couldn't sleep for a week before. I was so scared. I got so sick from probably not sleeping and just being, you know, worn down. And then I went into the surgery so sick. And it was the worst week after the surgery, literally, of my life. I've never felt worse. So I don't plan on doing any more.
When was the last one?
It was in the end of March.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Recent.
Yeah. It wasn't even that, like, invasive, too. This was probably the least, or no, actually, my elbow was the least invasive one, but the most invasive one was probably what made me so scared of this one, and that was the one previous to this last one, so it was kind of tough for me to go through that, and then thinking about doing it all over again, even though knowing it wasn't going to be as bad, just kind of mentally was really tough for me, for sure.
Yeah, just the process of having to go to the hospital and being...
Yeah, oh my gosh.
And
yeah.
Under, right?
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And, like, flying up to Minnesota where I got all of them done. I swear that place, I've been there so much in the last year. We've kind of made a joke about it, my family and I. We've called it our second home last year because we've been there so much. Because even before my first surgery, we went up there so many times for, you know, visits to meet the doctor, to see what his opinions were. We went up a couple times before the first one even to, you know, just meet with them and see what their opinions were and kind of go over everything. And then finally, you know, getting there for the first surgery. And I think I've been up there, we counted, since the last surgery was my ninth trip, I think, up there in the last year.
Wait, to Minnesota?
Yep, to the Mayo Clinic up there, so.
At least they're good there.
Yeah, no, they were so good. I actually, that's what I've, a lot of people have asked me, like, I had a couple different options of where I wanted to go. And there was a doctor in Europe that, you know, it was an option, but I went to obviously meet the surgeon that I chose and at the Mayo Clinic, and he was just the best, like the nicest person. I think that actually is one of the main reasons why I chose him. He made me feel so comfortable. He's so smart, like knew exactly what he was doing. He's probably one of the best in the world. So I felt so comfortable with him, and he just made everything so easy and, you know, was so super reassuring. So it was...
You're only 19 or so it's just... I think it's so scary to have to even make a medical decision, but obviously had family support and all of that.
Yeah, I had a lot of different, you know, kind of voices that were helping me decide, but I think in the end I chose to just, I wanted to be in the U.S. Like, that made me feel most comfortable too. And then just kind of the doctor that I chose, his whole demeanor was just, it felt really comfortable. So I thought that was the best way to go for sure.
What did the doctor actually say in regards to recovery time after your last surgery?
After just this most recent one? So actually the most recent one was just removing the plate that I had in my arm, and it was, causing, yeah, the worst problems ever. And it was, I mean, so basically every time I went to go practice, just getting into the progressions of that before the last surgery, I would get these two huge, like, lumps on my arm from the plate, like, rubbing against my muscles and tendons, because my arm just, it wasn't big enough to support it. And it was just the worst ever, and we just had to take it out at that point. I had, like, a plate incompatibility problem. So the timeline for that actually wasn't that crazy. It's been slightly longer than what the doctor had said. But he said, I think, 4 weeks off and then start progressions after that. But I think I took 5 off just to make sure that I was strong enough and everything felt good before I started progressions on court, so...
Even just day-to-day life of having your arm in a cast for a year would just drive me insane.
Yeah. Well, after the first surgery, I was in a cast that went above my elbow just for the first wrist surgery for 8 weeks. And I couldn't straighten my elbow for 8 weeks. And honestly, that was one of the reasons why I had to get the elbow surgery, was because I could not straighten my elbow. And I was having, like, horrible, horrible nerve pain in my elbow because I couldn't move it or straighten it. And it was completely stuck for 8 weeks straight. And that was one of the worst things ever. And actually, you can probably still see this, like, kind of circle right there compared to... I'm showing them right now. And that's literally my skin not being, like, alive and not growing back since the cast from the first surgery a year ago because I had it. It was pressing on this part of my elbow for so long that it's literally like dead skin.
Was there any times where you blame the doctors for having to have four surgeries, or was it just because of the way your bones and your arm and everything is fit?
I mean, obviously there's going to be times where I was like, gosh, he maybe could have done that in one of the other surgeries. But honestly, he was, you know, probably could be the best in the world. So there was no way that I could blame him at all. He was just, you know, that was basically his opinion. And there was one choice he made, where he could have done something that he did, ended up doing in my third surgery that he could have done in my first surgery. But, you know, that was just his professional opinion. And looking back, he probably could have made the right decision as well. So it was just, you know, whatever he chose. So I couldn't be too mad at it.
Going into the first one, that it was before surgery?
No, absolutely not. Yeah. I actually had a lot of misdiagnoses before my first surgery, before I went to this doctor. I had a lot of people that, you know, just basically said, you should get a cortisone shot, quick fix, like you'll be fine. And I for some reason, my gut was telling me to not do that, and I just didn't want to do it. And I finally got his opinion, and he was like, wow, I can't believe the other doctors didn't see this, when the other ones literally took an MRI and they saw nothing and reported nothing. And then when I went to him, he was like, you literally have three tears in your wrist. Your bone's too long. It's causing all these tears. Like, there's 10 things wrong, you know? And it's just crazy how, you know, opinions can differ so much, for sure. So, yeah.
That's why everyone says it's a second opinion.
Right, right. I had a fifth opinion, honestly, at this point, so.
Is your left wrist fine?
My left is totally fine. But actually, what's funny is now that I've been doing rehab on my right wrist for so long, we experimented and tried to do the same exercises that I'm doing on my right wrist now. We tried to do them on my left wrist and, you know, holding weights and doing range of motion stuff. And my left wrist wasn't even as strong as my right, which was really funny. So I guess that's a positive of the strength that I've gained.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I feel like with that much, a year and a half at this point, almost a year and a half of working on it,
yeah,
you're going to end up with a almost totally different hand.
Four surgeries, though. I mean, I don't, I obviously am not trying to compare, but I had surgery on my toe.
I remember that.
She was such a baby.
But what I was going to say is that, I mean, I went to Asia, Canada, England, France, and Australia, and no one could tell me,
yeah,
like, what was going on.
Right.
The diagnosis was always like, it's going to come back. It's going to come back. So I was like, this is really great.
Yeah.
So just going in, I remember going in for surgery. The hardest thing for me was just getting for them to put the IV on my hand.
Oh, the worst thing ever.
And
yeah,
it's just like, I usually am no problem when the doping control comes and they do the blood. Like, I'll watch them do it. Like,
oh, I still can't watch. I can't watch it.
Yeah, I have to, because I'm like, if I don't, then I'm like nervous of what they're doing. So I have to just...
Oh, you're one of those people?
Yeah.
So oh,
watch. And for example, my dad, he will pass out. You know, he'll just...
Yeah, me too.
And he's like,
I faint all the time.
Yeah, I faint
all...
Yeah, yeah.
It's so embarrassing.
I can't do it. Yeah.
So, yeah, no, just honestly, just thinking about that needle going into your hand. And I remember, like, the lady was just like, oh, I'm sorry, I missed it again
yeah,
it again. And it was just like, you need to, like, just not touch me right now.
There was, I think it was my second surgery, instead of doing it like in my hand, on the top of my hand, they did it in my wrist joint on my left wrist, and it left a bruise for like 3 weeks that was like the size of a baseball on the top of my hand. It was insane.
I can't even imagine.
I feel like I'm just so weak when it comes in.
I'm sweating right now, by the way, just thinking about this.
Just the idea of being put under, to me, is like the scariest thing, because I've never done it. But then you talk to someone like Juan Martin Del Potro, who's had, I think, 3 or 4 wrist surgeries, and he's probably in your boat, where he's
right,
like, I've been through a nightmare, and now I'm coming out the other side of it. Do you see the end of the light is here, right?
Like, oh, 100%. Yeah, I mean, I can't even believe I got through. Each surgery, I said to my family, my friends that were there with me, I was like, wow, I can't believe I got through that. Like, I just can't believe it, because each one, I was like, oh, no, I'm not doing the surgery. Like, I'm done with tennis. I'm not going to do this. Like, I can't do this anymore. I can't put my body through it. Even before the first one, I was like, I'm not going to do it. Like, it's not worth it. But especially before the third one, it's what I had to get done seemed so barbaric to me that I was like, this just can't be real. But I ended up doing it. I don't know, my gut told me to do it and fix it and try and come back. So,
because they had to shorten your bone.
Yeah, they had to break my bone in my forearm. They couldn't even shorten it from the top. They literally, like, they went in the middle of my forearm, broke it, and then shortened that part, and then reconnected it with the plate.
So I'm gonna just change the subject, because this is
that's
just too
cringeworthy.
I know, it's just, it's amazing what doctors can do. But
yeah, I don't know how that works.
But I just, I mean, obviously, the fact that you were able to get through this, like, it's a lot for anybody and your age. I mean, was there ever a time where you were actually like, I think I'm done, like with tennis?
Oh yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, multiple times for sure. And I, you know, even like the physios that I'm working with here and everyone that were, they were on each call with the doctor and they would be with me when I would hear what I'd have to do. And they, I mean, it was just the worst experiences ever. And I would literally be sobbing after each call with the doctor knowing that I had to go back in and do something else. And I mean, really before the third one, I thought I was going to be done for sure. Cause I thought there's no way that that could be real, that a doctor goes in and like surgically breaks a bone in your body.
And then you play tennis again. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I play tennis. Like there's no way. And he said, even before that surgery, he said, you're probably going to have to get another one because your arm is so small. Like there's no way it's going to be able to support a plate. It literally went from, I'm showing them in like in real life right now from, right. I mean, you can see it. It went from like here to here.
She's showing us a scar. Seven, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was huge. And it was like,
it's like half her arm is a scar. Yeah.
It was that thick and it was screwed 6 holes into my bone with a plate. So.
But it was always meant to be a temporary plate or it was supposed to stay there forever?
It could have stayed there forever. It could have. But he said, like even before the last surgery, he said, if I had had 2 inches extra of fat around my arm, I'd be fine. But because I'm, you know, obviously an athlete and pretty active, my arm's pretty small. So it could just couldn't hold it.
Jeez. The complications.
It's crazy. The surgeries lead to other things, I think. Yeah. For sure. Like yeah. I feel like it's rare that you hear like an athlete get like one and they're perfect and they're done.
Yeah.
Like very tough.
Yeah. I mean, the only person I think of is Del Potro now. He had to have multiple and he was right. Like, I think I'm done, but he's 30. I mean, he's 10 years older than you. It just seems so unfair.
Yeah.
And you were doing, I mean, you will be doing well again, but you were doing so well. Like things were like a like, top of the world kind of situation. And then to have to go through a year and a half of such setbacks. I mean, I think in the long run, it's going to, you'll look back, hopefully in like 10 years, you'll look back and be like, that made me stronger. And maybe even lengthened your career because this probably was going to happen at some point.
Yeah, it was a genetic thing. My bone was just too long. It was going to happen at some point for sure. So.
I mean.
Anyway, in other news, I just want to talk about something that's less cringeworthy. So you're doing Indiana East University,
yes.
Which is a program where WTA and Indiana East University, if you get a seat or better, 75% of your tuition is paid for.
Nice.
So it sounds easy.
You guys are already rich.
It sounds easy, but being on the tour, being on the road, like it can be exceptionally hard, you know. What are you studying?
So this is actually, I'm taking summer classes right now, and I took my first semester last fall and then my second in the spring. Right now, my summer classes are intro to business, stats, and body anatomy.
Well,
taking 3 right now. Yeah, I know. It's actually, it was pretty funny. I went in after my first day of classes and I went into the physios that I'm working with and I feel like I know all the terms already. And Irina, you would too, because of all the things we've heard, you know, over the years and, you know, just treatment rooms and stuff like that. So it's pretty fun.
Hands-on experience. Do you ever have to go into a classroom and take a test ever, or is it just all online?
It's all online. Yeah. I've had to have like proctors, watch over me when I'm taking exams, but you know, obviously, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, I didn't have that.
I had that for my, my finite math course last semester.
Did you ever look back and think that you should have gone to Stanford for a year, any school for a year? Because I feel like people have asked us a million times. We always kind of bring up college because we both went to college. So right. That's my defense here.
No, I definitely think so. And there were definitely times throughout this year where I was like, wow, like this may not have happened if I went to college. And, you know, because it could have happened when I was playing juniors. It could have happened at any point in my career. But I think it honestly, just with the level that I was playing at and the pace that I was kind of receiving each match and the hard hitting, you know, my wrist just, it finally just kind of snapped. So, I think if I went to college, it wouldn't have been as much stress on my wrist. I obviously would have been practicing less, training less, and, it would have been definitely a different path. And yeah, I definitely thought about that a lot in the last year, but you know, I've stuck to this choice and I'm going to ride with it. Yeah. See it through. Exactly.
It's amazing. So I've known CC for about, I want to say 6-7 years or so. And it's so funny, like watching you right now, I'm just like, you've grown so much. And I just, honestly, I'm just making that as a comment because it's amazing. Also, when you go through experiences like this, you do grow. It's not like consciously, but you know, you just kind of realize, wow, there's so much more to life.
Well, yeah, and that's actually, it's funny you bring that up because a lot of what my parents and I have talked about in the last year is we never kind of experienced my life without tennis. And I have a totally different life outside of tennis. Like, I could not play tennis anymore and have a completely normal life. And I'm sure you've realized that too, Irina, in the last, you know, year or so, and just kind of figuring out that, and I always knew that tennis wasn't my whole life. Like, I had a totally, you know, normal life when I wasn't playing, but this kind of made me really open my eyes to see that, you know, it's not my whole life. I am a whole, you know, different person, and I can always fall back on that if I need to, for sure.
It's good for the long run, mm-hmm. for both of you.
I remember when I was playing on tour, everyone, whenever I would see family, whenever I would see friends, it was always tennis, tennis, tennis. Yeah. And that was always my comment. I was like, you know that there's so much more to me than just that. Right. It's like, why don't you ask me what I like to do for fun, or what books I'm reading, or what shows I'm watching? So yeah, I totally understand the whole perspective thing, because my last year, I remember, for Christmas and for New Year's, I was like, oh wow, people actually get together, and like, this is a thing, and yeah. like, people actually come together during this time. I'm not on a flight. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so many people just don't understand that, you know, you just see, as a fan, you just see the glamorous life, like, you yeah. see the on the court, you see the player parties, but there's so much more to it.
Yeah, so much more.
I don't think it has to take 4 surgeries to realize that, but it's worked out. It's yes. worked out in a way that you have a bigger perspective, which is great. But I guess another thing you guys share is the U.S. Open. I think we want to touch on that a little bit. So, in an amazing coincidence, you guys both beat the same player in, like, your big breakthrough weekend weeks, the U.S. Open. So you both beat Dominika Cibulkova, poor Cibulkova.
She just hates us.
I mean, I think she's entertaining and amazing, so no offense to her. But yeah, it's kind of amazing, like, you beat her in 2014, you beat her in 2011. Kind of your big breakthrough, here I am moments, mm-hmm. and you guys share that. How often do you look back on that, if ever?
Not as much anymore. I think it was obviously, like, such a great start to my career and kind of, you know, my first big tournament. But I think I was definitely playing extremely well that day. At that age, I could have never kept that up, you know, consistently. And I think it was a great starting point, but definitely something that I don't look back on too much now, because I feel like it's not really, really realistic. But yeah, it was definitely a really good moment for me.
Does it make the U.S. Open still the most special when you think about it? I know it's coming up this year and you might not be back in time for it, but does it make it more special when you go back there? Because you're like, oh, this is where it all began.
Yeah, for sure. I think I am hoping to make it this year too, which, fingers crossed. But yeah, it definitely is one of the best tournaments out there. Definitely the best slam for us, I think.
Definitely for Arena.
Sure. Yeah. I wouldn't say it's my favorite slam.
You like Wimby, don't you?
I love Oz.
Wait, but
Wimby.
You love French too. I know. You're so good on red clay. The dropper is just so dead on red clay.
Yeah.
I was like, Serena's on. She's like, I literally can't watch.
You guys see her outfit?
Yes.
Crazy.
I just can't wait to see what she's wearing.
I know. No, it's so exciting. Like, the lead up to each slam. Yeah, me too. It's really fun. It's actually so fun.
Wait, have either of you guys played against her?
No.
I did.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, singles. Yeah. I mean, that experience has to be insane, and it's...
Yeah, so cool. I mean, I feel honored to be able to have, you know, played her and basically, like, hopefully tell my kids one day, wow, I played against the greatest of all time, and, I mean, that's just such a cool thing to say, so it was really, really, really cool for me.
And speaking of Nike, you're sponsored by Nike, I think IMG, Advocare, and you had a bunch of things going. When you went through an injury, were they all just still with you and
yeah.
figuring it out?
Yeah, they've been actually really good and really supportive and helpful, so I'm really grateful to them and just sticking with me through all this, and hopefully can come back even stronger, all of us together.
Obviously, you have a team with you right now that wants you to just be back and as soon as possible. Who is your team right now?
So my coach is Tom Guttridge. He's I've been working with him since I was 15, and I decided to bring him on board full time right now. And he's been great. He's been down here full time for a couple months now, and it's been working out really well. And I'm working with the fitness trainers at USTA, Craig, Satoshi, Jen sometimes too. It's been great, and the physios there as well. So that's my team around me right now. My agent is from IMG, like you said. So that's my team.
What's the USTA vibe like in Lake Nona? You guys are a bunch of friends that, like, get lunch together and hang out and have dinners, or is it more straight to business and go home to your separate mansions out here in this complex?
Are you referring to players or players and coaches?
Players.
No, I think we get together a lot. Yeah, we're all really good friends, I'd say.
There's so many of you here. I feel like there's, like, a...
And there's a good group here. Like, we've got a good vibe, for sure. And we kind of all, we travel together and do stuff on the road together, too. So, it's fun.
So, I mean, other than doing school, is there anything, like, any other interests that you've picked up? I mean, if anybody wants to ask about me, I've picked up meal prepping, I've picked up gardening, I've picked up how to compost.
Gonna come to my house, Irina.
Yeah. Why don't you infiltrate the USDA population?
I'm in the middle of it.
I remember.
Yeah.
I remember.
She came into USDA one day and I was like, yes!
There's a lot of legal work that is involved.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway.
In case you, like, poison someone.
Exactly. Somebody dies.
Meal prepping is very in.
Yeah, it's so in.
It is in. So, yes, enough about me, though. What interests have you picked up, if any?
Similar to meal prepping, I love cooking. I like baking too. I've been doing that a lot in the last year. I mean, I've still been doing fitness like twice a day ever since I had my, you know, recovered from my first surgery. So I've been into that a lot and just kind of hanging out, shopping a little, hanging out with friends, movies.
You have a boyfriend that goes to UF?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He had a great first year.
Yeah, he did so well. And he had a great NCAAs too.
Yeah.
So I was really proud of him. It was fun to watch him here.
Okay, I didn't know that.
With my former coach, Brian Shelton.
Oh, we have another connection there. Irina and I are just connected on every level. Yeah.
So
it's so funny.
Former Georgia Tech coach is the UF coach, and your boyfriend goes there.
Yes.
Okay.
Pretty funny.
Okay.
And his mom is a USTA coach.
Okay, wow.
Here in Lake Nona.
Wow. Also, he's based here, but goes to school in Gainesville.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So have you been, like, seeing each other even though he's in college or...
Yeah, I've gone up there a lot. He comes down a lot. I pretty much see him every week still. And now he's home for the summer, so it's really nice to have him back. But it was fun going up there and kind of seeing what college life would be like a little bit. and just being normal, so that was fun too. Next time I see you, Brian, I'm going to bring you up.
Yeah,
you
ask
should.
Him.
Yeah, well, you should.
I remember when I committed to Stanford... The first person that I went up, so Irina and I were like practicing together in Boca when USTA was there at the time. And I think the day after, like, I posted something about it, I like went up to Irina. I was like, Irina, like, I committed to Stanford. She was like, I'm so proud of you. You're not going to remember this, but it was so funny. And she was like the happiest person ever for me. And she was like, oh, I loved going to college. You're going to have so much fun. And yeah.
I only went for 2 years, but it was fun. The years that it lasted.
I feel like Stanford would be more fun than Georgia Tech.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. Stanford isn't Atlanta.
It's the whole California vibe. It's hard to beat.
California's cool.
I visited UCLA too. Yeah. And yeah, and I literally all the girls on the UCLA team are like my best friends. So I feel like I would have loved that too.
Oh my God. Yeah. UCLA.
That's where she went.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, that's so sick.
Yeah, I played there, but I graduated.
Love that. So fun.
That's in LA though. I don't know. Stanford's a bit more quiet.
It's definitely more quiet. And I live like 5 minutes from Stanford. So it'd been nice to... Do my laundry at home and things like that. Yeah.
I feel like things worked out, though. I feel like the decision you made sense because, like, you flew through the pros and, like, got to top 40 and, you know, we're newcomer of the year. And I feel like it'll all just go right back to that.
I hope so, yeah. It was definitely tough. I had, like, a ranking kind of goal in mind that I wanted to be at before I turned pro. And I feel like once I hit that, it was the right decision. But, you know, obviously in the last year, I'm going to be thinking about the other decision since I've been off a lot. But... I think it was the right one.
You validated it like tenfold in your first 2 years.
Well, thank you.
Trust me, it's not easy because it's not common for someone to just like decide not to go to college and do as well as you did. A lot of times like pressure can get to you, especially because you're like, I have to prove myself now. Like I have to show them that this was the right decision and that can definitely mess with your head and your confidence. And you put a lot of just dumb pressure on yourself, if you will. So you totally overcame that.
Well, thank you.
It's such an American thing, though. Oh, beautiful. It's such an American thing, though. Like, I feel like other players that are foreign, I mean, I've talked to a few players about this, then I've heard Naomi Osaka talk about this, and she's like, I was never going to play in college. But every American player, you have that split path, and the Europeans don't. It's almost an advantage.
I think it's so amazing that we have that other path that we can go on as well. I think it's so important. And, I mean, you see so many good college players coming and being good pros now too. So I think it's huge for us to have that. I don't know what we would do if we were in Europe. Like, I don't know what I would do if I was in Europe.
If you only had one option.
Yeah.
Either go pro or you work at a country club, basically. Oh, yeah.
That'd be so tough.
I will say though, when we were growing up, like our coach at the time, like playing college was like the worst thing you could
get. Yeah.
I don't know if it's
so
the,
it has changed.
It's changed.
Agreed. But I mean, there's still some people where it's like college, like no way. Like I have to go pro. Like that's the only way I know I succeeded.
Even the idea though of going for only a year and leaving seems Like, it wasn't that common when we were, we're not that old, but it feels like it was, it's more common now to be like, yeah, I'm going to go for a year.
It's changed.
And
absolutely.
A lot of players play in the summer and the fall, take semesters off and have like top 400 rankings. And you're like, okay, yeah, it's kind of a natural transition to go from college to pro. Well, yeah, when I went, I was like, I failed. It's all over. It's the end of my life now.
Yeah,
that's true. And I went to UCLA, so that's so extreme. But yeah, it's different. Different now. Okay, well, I think we wasted enough of your time.
Not wasted.
It's been so good catching up and getting to have you have a chance for a platform to share your story. I know you did Behind the Racket, and we're obsessed with that Instagram account, and you shared some of it. But I kind of think it was good to get an update.
Yeah, oh, for sure. No, I appreciate you guys giving me this platform and having me on and getting to catch up with you guys.
Yeah, it's been great. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys. I appreciate it.